Hello once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. The Lord bless you and keep you. It's so good to call ourselves the saints of Jesus. We are those who believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is on his throne and will always remember his own, and we are the people that God blesses continually. He never leaves us, he never forsakes us, he holds us in the hollow of his hand. Now, having said that, there are disturbing things. The riots in England are very disturbing, especially when seen through the eyes of the media in the United States. It's a shocking thing that so many things have happened in England that a few years ago would not have happened. Why are they happening? In this country of the United States, there is such a mix-up with politics and people calling one another names. And instead of recognizing dignitaries for the position that they hold or the office that they hold, there is a put-down of dignitaries, exactly as the Bible says that in the last days this will happen. Another thing that the Bible teaches, that in the last days there will be lawlessness. And if you look around and watch the television programs like the news and the various programs about spies and all that sort of thing, the criminal aspect is very, very high. And when you view it from that perspective, you see that we are teaching people how to be thoroughly vulgar, and we are teaching people that it's okay to be a criminal. It's not a wrong thing, because look at all the stars from Hollywood and places like that. They get away with murder. Wow. So we're safe, aren't we? No, we're not, because we are in the time of lawlessness. It seems to me that as we look at this, we can discover how we can live during this lawless time. I was reading in the scriptures once more some beautiful words. They come from Psalm 78, where the writer of Psalm 78 says that he wants us to be a people that always and continually tell our children about the things that God has done. And I don't see that either in books or in television. I don't see it or hear about it from many families. We spend a great deal of time going to school, obeying school rules and regulations. We spend a great deal of time being very social and being caught up with the sociality of the day, but we do not seem to be in a place where the Lord is blessing us and we're telling our children the stories of Jesus. And I want to return to an old story. It's the story of David and Goliath, and you'll find it, if you are interested, in the first book of Samuel, the 17th chapter, and really it takes up most of the chapter, but the preamble is rather interesting. You'll notice as you look at the preamble that the brothers of David were already in the field of battle, and every time this great big 10-foot fellow came out and yelled with a terrific voice and held an enormous spear, this man was able to terrify the people. Well, when this slip of a kid, we reckon about 17 years old, called David, turns up, he's ruddy-faced and he's got curly red hair, and he stands and he says, "I'll fight the fella. I'm not scared of him." Notice in verse 37 of that 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, it says that David said, moreover, that the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." But Saul didn't see things the way David saw them. And I find this in the politics of the day. I find this in the attitude of many, many, many Christians. And I think it's a sadness. There's only one way to do it. That's my way. And that's the inference that is given. Look at verse 38. Saul armed David with his armor and put on a helmet of brass on his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword and his armor, and he said to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. In other words, I'm not used to armor and a great long sword. That's not my method of fighting. That's not my method of getting things done that need to get done. And so David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now that's verse 40. And it's interesting, David isn't doing what he's supposed to do. He isn't going into battle the way he's supposed to go into battle. And one of the most amazing things, when you think back in the recent history of Israel, why, since 1948, they've had to fight wars and do all sorts of things that nobody else has ever had to do in our generation. They fought with practically nothing. They had to fight with things that they quickly had to convert, such as the tanks that the Egyptians threw at them. And they turned the tanks around, painted them another color, put the Star of David and turned the tanks back and fought the Egyptians with those things. And before that, they had just a .303 rifle, and they were going up against all kinds of armament that was way ahead of anything that they had. They had the old British .303, and you had to cock it with a bolt and all that sort of thing, whereas the Arabs had semi-automatic weapons and plenty of them. So there's been a lot of things happening. We can't do things the way they've been done if we want to be successful. We keep trying all sorts of old things. For instance, let me throw together, before we get too far into this, the teaching of the Lord Jesus. He said, you know, you rip a gown or a garment, you don't take a new piece of material and sew it to that old garment, because the old garment has started to wear through the sun beating on it, and through the fact that it's torn anyway. But the fibres have patinaed to the point where maybe they're frail. You put a new piece of cloth on that, and you say, this is the way we've got to go, and all of a sudden, the cloth is going to tear, and the tear will be worse than the first tear. We are torn with differences of opinions. We are torn with different ways of conducting ourselves in the society in which we live. We're torn in many directions. Jesus said, in effect, take a step aside, get out of the box, and see what God will do. And I'm quite sure that David was very arrogant in his attitude as far as his brothers were concerned. His brothers acted just like the brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, he's gone mad. Let's go and collect him before he shames us even more, before he makes a bigger fool of himself and calls down all kinds of retribution upon the name that we have. They went to Jesus and he just ignored them. He said, I'm about my Father's business and I'm going to do it. But he wasn't doing it their way. He wasn't going along with the normal politics. He wasn't going on with things the way they've always been done. He was outside. He was a new piece of cloth, and it would not tie into the old cloth. Now, some people will claim that that's what they're doing, but they're not, because they're not doing it before the Lord Jesus. They're not going and saying, thus and thus saith the word of God. God deals with us not according to our sins, not according to our iniquities, but according to his loving kindness and his tender mercies. So now we see this king, this young man who became king, a young David, he goes out against this Goliath, and Goliath is mighty. He's a massive man. He is such a man that it's not easy to be able to go and fight him. It's been pointed out to David, you're just a kid. You're just in your youth. There's nothing much of you. Look at verse 33. He was a man of war from his youth. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and I took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him, and delivered the lamb out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. Now, David had a completely different attitude towards this fight than did Saul, who was king. And Saul only saw this as an affront. It was an obstacle that we'd got to get out of the road. And he had to go up this road, and he had to go straight up it. He could not deviate. He could not change his mind. He had to do this the old-fashioned way. David comes along like a breath of fresh air and says, no, there's another way to do this. He picks up 5 stones. By the way, you know why he picked up 5 stones, I'm quite sure. But you see, Goliath had 4 brothers, and that was the confidence, some will say arrogance, of King David. He knew that if he slew Goliath, why, he would very likely come 4 more at him. And so he had a stone for each one. I think that's fantastic thinking. David was so confident that he was not fighting his own battle. Later on in his life, we see David fighting his own battles. And when he does, or when he tries, he fails. But when he realizes this is the battle of the Lord, why, it's easy. All he's doing is supplying the pivot through which a sling will be thrown and a stone will zoom through the air and the might of the usual type of fighter will crash to the ground. But let's look at this because it's so fascinating and interesting. King David, young David at this point, really understands more than the older men understand. He is ignorant of the old way to fight. And his brothers are thoroughly embarrassed with him. For instance, look at verse 28. Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when David spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him and toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of this Philistine. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Now, there's confidence for you. We can solve this problem. In the scriptures, Paul is talking to young Timothy, and he says, Timothy, don't let anybody despise the fact that you're a young man. And if you're a young person listening to this, be encouraged. You've got all the energy and all the confidence that the Lord has given you. Then use it. I would bring you to the end of this in a way, but it is before Goliath is slain. We see that the Lord works wonderfully. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, said David to Goliath, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now, let's put that into the perspective of today's social climate. Let's put that into the perspective of where we are today. Why all this rioting? Why all these dreadful things said about those that are in authority? Why don't we pray for our kings and our queens? Why don't we pray for our presidents in ways that we shall live in peace? Not, oh Lord, we don't like this person, get rid of him, bring us another, so that we can dislike him and ask you for another. That is foolishness. That is foolishness. We need to be a people that trust that God will rue the day, and God will show his face. Old David knew all this as a young man. And he says in the supernatural, in a sense, he says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. If in England we go back and tell the stories of the martyrs, the people that suffered because they loved the Lord Jesus Christ, the people who were called the Crusaders, the people who were called the Anabaptists. Why don't we tell those stories over and over and over again, that the young people in England may know their heritage? Why here in America don't we tell people that the founding fathers used the Bible to create the Constitution and to create everything that this land stands for? Why don't we go back and have another look? Why don't we recognize that all the way through mankind, when our generals have been at war, here is a for instance. George Washington was a man of prayer, they'd say. Historically, he prayed. Why do we then, when we hear that a president prays, why do we degrade him? Why do we make fun of him and poke fun at him? If that's prayer, what does he expect? I heard somebody say, this is ridiculous. We have a president that prays, not the present president, but a president that prays. And they were saying, prayer doesn't do a thing. Why do people say such dreadful things? John Knox in Scotland said, give me souls or I die. He was crying out to God, let souls be converted. Some of you in England remember the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, when Billy Graham came to the great city of London and places all over the United Kingdom. And he preached the gospel, some in a mocking way said, the simple gospel. Yet today, there are scores of men whose lives have been laid down for the Lord Jesus, who have expected great things of God just because they heard the message of salvation and redemption through the lips of a great man, a special man called Billy Graham. Why in this country can't we remember the things that God has wrought in this country? We have faced battles. The Second World War, I happen to know Major Mays of long ago now, but he was a right hand of General Montgomery, not very well liked in America, a fellow that would stand up in opposition to Patton, who was another great general. But here was a man who would be on his knees most of the night, I'm speaking of Montgomery, praying over the loss of the dear men that would go into battle, who spent time weeping in prayer, I was told. This is an amazing thing. And we have had other generals and leaders of battles in this country of America, where men have fallen before the Lord before they've gone into battle and seen great things done. Now, David went with 5 stones, a sling, and a staff. And you know the story how it was that this great fellow who was 10 feet tall stood, and he said in verse 43 of this chapter, "The Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with a staff?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with sword and with spear and with shield, tremendous armaments, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will take your life, not I will end this battle. The Lord will do it." And I think there is desperation enough in both our countries, in Great Britain and in America today, to look and say, what will the Lord do with our countries? And I think it's time that we started giving some thought to what God will do. Now the Word of God teaches us that when my people hear my voice and will turn back to me, I will become their Father and their God, and I will never leave them nor forsake them. I will stand with them. Listen to this, because it's very powerful, and we need to hear what the Word of God is. Look at verse 47. David has said, "This day the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee." And then down to verse 47. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear." Now listen carefully. "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Why is there lawlessness in these last days? Because Satan is doing his last fling. Satan is molding the minds and messing with the thinking of men and women in our day to the extent that dreadful things are thought, terrifying things are done, and the law is broken. The laws of God are broken, the laws of the land are broken. And the laws that are kept in the land by the lawyers and by the police forces and by the armies of this world at this moment, these are being kept with tremendous threat. Threat of long prison terms, threat of dreadful things happening to us in prison, dreadful things that will happen to those that get in the way, how they'll run over us and be destroyed. There is a lot of character assassination going on in politics today. It's no gentlemanly attitude. It's just, let's destroy this person so that people will hate them and not let them be opposed to us. That's a wrong way to go about it. If you want to get rid of someone, go and talk to the Lord Jesus about it. Go and talk to the living God about it and see what God will do, because you're not fighting your battle. It is the battle of the Lord. And until we understand that this whole business of politics and all the lawlessness and all that's going on in the world right now, until we understand and can comprehend what's going on, we will not turn to God, so the battle will not be the Lord's. And it is that simple. You see, we may have all the equipment. In verse 47, "The Lord saveth not by the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Why do you think we have bad leaders? Why do you think we have good leaders? Because the Lord selects them for a specific task. We are not in authority. I know you vote. Isn't that wonderful? But better to be on your knees saying, "Lord, will you place the right person in our leadership that we may live in peace?" In peace. I no longer want to see a young man ending his teens or just starting into his 20s. I don't want to see a young man or young woman with no legs left or hands blown away or blind or so disfigured that they can't function easily in society, all because of the cruelty and wickedness of war. If we have to have wars, let the politicians go to war, and let the politicians of country A fight with country B. That'll solve wars in a very quick way. But instead, understand, we need to be eager. Verse 48, the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hastened and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in the bag and took from thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sank deep into his forehead, and he fell upon his face on the earth, and David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. You can defeat the enemy in all our countries because he is the same enemy we've always had. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's the word of God, saints. And I have to stop. But the Lord bless you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask for these two countries. We ask for our own lives, and we pray that we may be a people that will understand this is your battle, not ours, and that we'll let you fight it in your way, without all the gimmickry and all the cleverness of our devious minds. Lord, bless our countries. Bless our families. Teach us what we should know, that we may love you and serve you all the days of our lives, that your blessings will bring us to the place where the countries of this world will see that the Lord is on his throne, and this is the Lord who has fought the battle. Lord, bless us now, lead us now, and keep us in your peace. Amen. Well, now in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just pray that you will be blessed. Bye-bye.